Praise the Lord. Livy's going to come around, grab those missions cards, so pass those in to them. And I just want to encourage you, we pass those around, we want to pray, but also I'm telling you just a quick email on those. The email address is on those, and I had the Carneys tonight. I'm just going to just send them a quick email, say, hey, we prayed for you tonight at church. And they say, do we need to say more than that? It doesn't have to be a long email, just something to encourage them, our missionaries, to know that their letters are being read. We're interested in what's going on in the field, and that we're actively taking time to bring them before the throne of God, and their needs. It means so much. I know, talk to missionaries, and they wonder sometimes how many churches read their missions letters. They really do, and that's how many people really care. And we want our missionaries to know we really care, and that they're making a difference, and we get to have a part in that. That's fruit that abounds to our account. When we're thinking about missions, and we're thinking about the work of missions and the work of the gospel around the world, their work, by our giving, according to Paul, that's fruit that abounds to our account. And man, I want to take care of my fruit. Amen. I want to be mindful of the fruit that I get a part in, and I don't want to just throw money, and I know you don't either. I think that's what a blessing. It's amazing. We're just trying to put finances together, budgets together for the end of the year, and faith promise. This doesn't include any other missions giving, but faith promise this year. We've had $135,000 come in for faith promise, and that's just, I'm telling you, just phenomenal and amazing. And just want to encourage you. Let's not go, well, we've done our good deed. No, we got more to do this next year. Amen. And you say you're going to tell us next that Christ is coming back and the need's greater this year than it was last year, and absolutely it is. It is, and it's the truth. Christ is coming back, and the need is greater this year than it was the year before. And let's be honest with the Lord. Let's be in a prayer. We got 3 extra weeks to pray about what God's going to use us to do for missions this next year. And let's take it as the gift it is, that we get more opportunity to pray and to be led of the Spirit of God in what God wants us to do, that we might be able to see God do greater things this year. You say, man, 135, that's amazing. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And what might God do this next year? Might even be far, far and away greater than that. But let's be yielded to the Lord in what we do. Find Matthew in chapter number 6. Matthew in chapter number 6. Tonight we're going to be discussing the hallowing of God's name in our prayer. And prayer works. The Lord wouldn't be giving us instruction on prayer if He didn't want to hear prayer. God wants us to use this avenue of prayer. And I would have to say this, that probably the idea of God's holiness is one of the most absent things in religion today. One of the most absent things from Christianity, especially in America today, is the aspect of God's holiness in regarding what we do and in how we approach God and in what we do for God. Everything we do for God, while He is our Father, and we spent time discussing that, and I'm so thankful that He's given us the adoption of sons, and we have a right to call Him Abba, and He is our Heavenly Father. And that's a position of respect, but it's also a position of relationship that He desires to lead and to guide and to be the a comforter to us in our prayer life. That's what He wants to do, and that so many times can be man the main focus of God. When the reality is, while that is true, it is also very true God does love and God is love. It is also very true that God is holy, and so His name is to be hallowed. We're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. Our heart must be prepared and must be right to go before the Lord in prayer. And so let's just read our text here as we look through this model prayer. Matthew in chapter number 6, verse number 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Amen. Praise the Lord, he does. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, we've looked at that extensively, which art in heaven. We talked about here here the last couple weeks. Look at this. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we consider this tonight, we need to be mindful of the honor that it is that we have opportunity to pray. And to be honest, it's a great honor. God lowered himself to be our Savior. And then he not only gave himself for us and sacrificed himself for us, he wants to be the avenue. He put himself in a place to where our Savior is now the avenue, the conduit by which we have constant communication with God. He sacrificed his very Son that you and I might be able to communicate with him and talk to him. I want you to understand, I believe we need to understand how much of an honor it is that we get to communicate with God. It's not a right that we were that we should just demand that we have. No. It's a gift of God. It is a reality that He is holy. He is a righteous God, and everything about Him is holy and is righteous. And we have the privilege and the honor to speak to Him. He is a God who has given us His Spirit. Is a God who's given us His Spirit. It's by His Spirit we are in communication, and that we have, that we might have a communication between us and the Savior and our God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, it says this: likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And some people can say, well, that means speaking in tongues, it can mean all sorts of weird things. It's not anything weird at all. It's that our Heavenly Father knoweth what things we have need of before we ask Him. And as I yield myself to the Spirit of God and to the leading of the Spirit of God, it is God who gives me opportunity to talk to Him, and God who's going to lead me in my prayer because He knows what I need. And so I need to be yielded to Him in my time of prayer, that I might be led of Him for what to pray and for how to pray. And so we don't need to make that anything more, anything weird at all. The Lord knows what we have need of. And He's going to teach us how to pray. And that's exactly what the disciples went to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They wanted God to teach them to pray. And you and I, as we'll be patient and quiet and waiting upon the Lord and allowing the Word of God to be our to be leading and guiding in our life, we can learn how to pray. It's not a matter of just all of a sudden I woke up and I just had this amazing prayer life. No. I'm telling you, people that have good prayer lives and people that get a hold of the throne of God, and we refer to some people like that, right? I'm going to let them know about my need because I know they get a hold of God. I know people like that in my life that if I have a real need, I'm going to talk to them because I want them praying for me. Right, I want my mom praying for me in my life because I believe she talks to the Lord. Amen. And I want her to be bringing my need before the Lord. And so the understanding of that, it's a matter of her walking in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? I'm obedient to the Word of God. That's what it is. That's all faith is. We're talking about faith a lot over the next few weeks as we look at faith as a victory. Faith is obedient to the Word of God. As I'm obedient to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God has opportunity to work in my life and to teach me and to guide me and to lead me. That's what we're talking about. It's not a hard, difficult thing. God has given us His Son as a high priest to bring our prayer and sacrifice before Him. Hebrews in chapter 7 and verse number 25 says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He hath ever He's ever living to make intercession for them. God's desiring to make intercession for those, for whom those who He's paid, and He's given us the earnest of the Spirit, and He's imparted unto us His Spirit so that we might be able to communicate through His Son and through the sacrifice that He has made. God wants us to communicate with Him, and God wants to communicate with us, and He made all of the preparation possible to make this communication happen and to make this conduit of prayer open before He and I and before you as well. And He's made all the preparation. All He is waiting for is you and I to actually pray. He's waiting for you and I to pray and to talk to Him, to call upon, and now listen to this, to call upon His holy name, His hallowed name. He is waiting for us to call upon that. And I say it in that manner because I believe this, that those who would take the giving of the Spirit of God that took place because of the sacrifice of God, and now this open communication between us and God has been made possible, and for us to go to God with any other aspect or idea in our mind and in our heart of this communication that we get to have, other than the fact that He is holy, I'm telling you, we are very much diminishing the communication that I believe we get to have between us and the Savior. I understand that God is going to listen to those who call upon Him. Don't get me wrong, but I know this as well. Psalm 68 verse 18, it says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. And when I have not been obedient to the Spirit, it means I have not been obedient to the Word. It means I have listened to sin in my life. The only thing keeping me from being obedient to the Spirit is sin. The only thing that's keeping me that breaks down my communication between me and the Savior is sin. And so you and I, when we approach the Lord and we have this prayer time with the Lord and we have sin, I'm telling you, we are very much hindering ourselves. If we don't stop and be mindful of the fact that, wait a second, I'm not just talking to somebody that owes me anything. I'm talking to the One who's given me everything, the One who's made it possible for me to pray, and He's holy. And here's a great reality we have to face: I'm not. The only means by which I have any hope of holiness is the Spirit of God that dwells in me because of the sacrifice of the Savior that was given. It's the only means by which I have any hope of attaining unto His holiness. And I ought not to be flippant at all in any way to think that I get to go before God and pray without being mindful that He's holy and I am not. God desires for us to come to Him as a child would come to a father, and we need to recognize He is in heaven and we are on earth, and He is authority, and we don't. And we need to see that for the reality is it is, while all those things are true, it is very much true that His name is to be hallowed, and the mind and heart of the individual that goes to Him in prayer need to take time and acknowledge that. We need to take time and to acknowledge that in a reverence. There should be a reverence in which, children, listen, that you approach authorities. There should be, especially your parents. There should be a reverence in which you approach your father. I'm talking about your earthly father. There should be a reverence there. And when we're talking about me stopping to remember that the name in which I am praying and the individual to whom I am praying, it's a very real thing. I'm not just throwing words up into the ether. No, no, no. Listen, I get to talk to God through prayer, and He is holy, and there should be a reverence that is upon the heart and the mind of the individual that is going to God in prayer. You need to have a reverence. We live in a day and a time where there is very little reverence of authority whatsoever. It's getting diminished more and more over time. And I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I'm telling you, I want my children to call the adults in this church ma'am, and I want the women ma'am, and the men sir. I want them to learn to say that, not because I'm hoping they go to the army one day, but because I want them to reverence authority. I want them to reverence that. I want them to have a respect for authority. And I'm telling you, I don't like the idea when someone says, well, Mr. Jones was my dad. If you're older, guess what? You're Mr. Jones, if that's your last name. I mean, you might be Mr. Smith. I don't know. But reality is this, that I want them to have a respect just simply for the fact of who you are because you are older than them. should be the case. That used to be the case in America. If you're older in the room, that was exactly how you were raised. It wasn't bad for you to have a reverence for authority. It's very bad in America today because there's a lot of disrespect of authority. Police officers are not respected in our society today. Law and order is not respected in our society today. Parents are not respected in our society today. There is no reverence, and I'm telling you, it's also come into the house of God, and there is a very little reverence for God, and it is seen in the way that we live our lives. It is seen in the way that we follow the commands of God. We're going to talk about this more on Sunday morning when we're in the book of 1 John 5. But I'm telling you, God desires for us to go to Him reverently. And He is our Heavenly Father. That doesn't just mean that, man, He's going to give me that new toy that I want. No. It should be mindful that as my Heavenly Father that loves me, that's gave Himself for me, that's provided an avenue for me to pray, I'm going to go before Him with reverence, the reverence that He deserves. Hallowed means that we make something holy, that we purify or consecrate, that we sanctify something. Something is sanctified. Now, here's the reality: I don't bring any holiness to God when I pray. I don't. I don't add anything to God at any point in time. It's not like, man, I go out and do a bunch of good works, and I do a bunch of good deeds, and I do everything that every good little Christian's supposed to do, and then I've improved upon God. No. Don't get me wrong. But when we go before God, when we acknowledge the holiness of God and we hallow the name of God, we understand of the power of the name upon which we are calling, and we in our heart and our mind are ensuring that we understand how holy and how pure it is, and we are when we hallow the name of to hallowed means to make holy, to purify, to consecrate, and to sanctify. This means when we say hallowed be thy name, we are stopping to put God in a proper position. We're stopping to put God in a proper position, realizing that He is holy and He is pure. And we need to stop and do that. Our prayer life should not be a flippant thing. We're not talking to just anybody. We're talking to a holy God. We're talking to the Creator. We're talking to the One who produced our salvation. And as we speak His name, it should remind us of who we were before He found us. I should be mindful of that. Who I was before I knew Christ. Who I was before I received salvation. Who I was before I got all cleaned up and now I'm all religious and looking the part of a good little Christian. Come on. We should be mindful of those things, and should be mindful of who we would be without Him. When I pray, where would I be had it not been for what God did in my life? Where would I end up if God had not intervened, and if God had not sent His Son, and if God had not, by some miraculous means of His Spirit and His Son, produced this conduit to where I can call out to Him, and I can talk to Him, and I can communicate with Him? Where in the world would we be? Right. We are far advantaged because of the work of God in our lives. Right. We need to be mindful. It's amazing how spiritual Christians can get. How Christian-y we can be. All of us are just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. I mean, there's not a person here who knows Christ as their Savior who you have a greater title than that. You're a sinner saved by grace. Say, I've been saved longer. You're a sinner saved by grace. I've done more works. You're a sinner saved by grace. I help here and I do this. I give that. Whatever. You can tell us about your goodness all day. If you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace of Jesus Christ, and that's all the goodness you can boast. All of us were born born without with the same sin nature. There's not one person alive that was not born with the nature of Adam. We talked about that Romans chapter 5 on Sunday morning. We were born with that nature, that sin nature of Adam. And by God's grace, He extended us the opportunity to be born again, to be a recipient of His Spirit, to be born of His Spirit, that we might be able to have communication with Him. By grace of God and nothing more, I got saved. And if you're saved, you got saved. And whoever else out here might say that they got saved. It was only by the grace of God. And it didn't matter whether they'd done a whole lot of sin by men's standards or just a little bit of sin by man's standards. God said they've all sinned, they've all come short of the glory of God, and they're all going to come to me the same way. Big sinners and little sinners are only going to come to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We all approach God the same way. But I'm telling you, we still get to a point where we get spiritually pious and we act like, well, I'm doing something greater for God, and I can go before God as if I have right. And don't get me wrong, I understand that we can have boldness in approaching the throne of grace, but we can have boldness in approaching the throne of grace based upon the sacrifice of Christ, not based upon the sacrifices of your works and your offerings and your goodness. It's only the boldness we get to have because of what Christ has done. We get to go before Him boldly, and that should be humbling to us, that He's given us opportunity to come before Him with boldness. He desires for us to do that. Every one of us need to get down on our knees daily and be reminded and remind ourselves that He is the only Holy One. Not me, not you. He is the only one that is holy. On my good days, the only righteousness I have, I'm telling you, on my best day as a child of God, the only righteousness I get to claim and the only righteousness you could claim is the righteousness of God. On our best day, when I've done everything my wife asked me to, and I've responded correctly to the kids, and I didn't kick the dog, and I helped little ladies across the street, and I put my tithe and offerings on my best day, I'm telling you, I only have His grace, by His grace, that I get to even claim to have any type of righteousness whatsoever. Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse number 1 through 5, if you look over there, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Isaiah 6. Isaiah the prophet received a vision of God. In verse number 1 it says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." And we see the position of God, and His train filled the temple. His train, the idea of a train just talks about the splendor of his magnificence. It says it filled the temple. It says, verse number two, "Above stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered their face. With twain they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly." And it says, "And they cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." I tell you, the very personality of God is His holiness. Verse 4 says, "And the posts of the doors moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." And then look at His response. Look at the response. It says this, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of host." Isaiah's response was one of woe, that he was not worthy, that he was undone, that his lips were unclean. He's not even fit to speak the name of God. I mean, this mouth wasn't even for Isaiah. Said, this mouth isn't even holy enough to speak to God, speak the name of God, to even cry out the holiness of God. "I'm a man of unclean lips," is what he said. Woe is upon me. But friend, listen to me. By the sacrifice of His Son, we get to call upon the name of the Lord. We're commanded to call upon the name of the Lord. We're invited to call upon the name of the Lord. God's made preparation for you and I to call upon the name of the Lord. And to call upon His holy name, we ought never to be unmindful of it. If we consider another very familiar passage of Scripture in Luke in chapter number 18, just look over again there with me. I do know it's familiar. I know I reference it a lot, but I want to be reminded of it as well. Luke in chapter number 18, it says in verse number 9, it says, and this is Christ speaking a parable. Look what it says. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were what? Righteous. They were going before God with righteousness. Like they've done something. Like I get to approach God because of all the things I've done. I don't get to do that for salvation. I don't. And every day since my salvation, I never have been able to approach God that would impress Him with the things that I've done. He says they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Verse 10. One a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other. And I think that's important to underline there. He was not praying to God. He was praying to himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off would not so much as lift his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that exalteth and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I don't think it even needs to be asked which one of these men actually hallowed God in the time that they took to pray. One man hallowed himself and made himself to be holy and made himself to be righteous and made himself to sound good and boasting before others, not to God, but before others, his goodness. The other wouldn't even approach God. We must ask ourselves this. Let's ask ourselves this question. How do we approach God? How do you approach God? The command is when we pray, we're to hallow His name or to make sure His name is hallowed in our prayer. And we can consider how do we approach your earthly father when you are desiring something? How do you approach your someone when you are in need? And when we come to God and when we realize the Lord wants us to pray, friend, we're always approaching God in need. We're always approaching God in need. When days are good, you have need of God. Yeah. I'm telling you, when days are bad, you're just more aware of your need of God. Yeah. We all need to be hallow the Lord in our hearts and in our prayer. God, again, He's not Burger King. He's not interested in your way right away. It's not a genie in the bottle. It's not God. And that is not to be our prayer life. The holy name of our God is to be regarded. And it needs to be mindful that we are completely destitute without Him. And we approach Him in love of admiration that we even have opportunity to come before Him. And we should never take it as a light thing that we even get to speak His name in prayer. That we even get to allow from these unclean lips to have the name of God, the name of His Son, to come off of them. Because friend, listen, he's not looking for us to do some righteousness. No. By His name's sake, for His name's sake, He's redeemed us and He's imputed unto us His righteousness that we might be able to come before Him as our Heavenly Father with reverence. We're to come before Him. So how do we approach God? You have to answer that question for yourself. How when you took time to pray today, if you didn't take time to pray today, you ought to take time to pray tomorrow. You really should. Because there's a God that made great preparation that you would even have a life. There's a God who made great preparation for you to be able to communicate with Him. Man, be ashamed that you would not be using it and taking advantage of that which God has given you. And as you approach Him, are you mindful of how holy He is? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.